Welcome to the Dog Classroom,
the Dog Classroom podcast. I am your co-host, Anne Marie.
And I'm your co-host, Amelia.
Like and subscribe
on Spotify and YouTube in video format. And now into the episode.
Here we go. Welcome, everybody. So we try to do podcasts and make suggestions about different times of year.
Right.
So, you know, we did do a few about Christmas holidays and how to keep dogs warm. And now we want to get into, because I know even though most of us enjoy winter, but we seem to always look forward to that springtime.
I think we look forward to summer, and spring is just kind of there.
In the middle.
It's just kind of that wet season with all the stuff coming out of the snowbanks.
Well, yeah, because everything's melting, and unfortunately there's stuff in the snow that isn't great. So on that note, what a perfect time to train leave-its or go back to some of those skills that we maybe have not used so much. I want us to talk about more, I guess I find when you know, I'm out doing walking consults and so forth, you know, whether the dog's pulling, whether it's a reactive dog, that I feel when springtime happens and it starts to warm up, that I feel like all of a sudden, you know, last week I walked at Boulevard and there was nobody. And all of a sudden this week, like, there's people.
Everybody's out.
Everywhere.
As soon as it's a little bit warm, there's so many more people and therefore so many more dogs.
Exactly. So we go from, you know, going out for walks. Obviously, it gets dark at like 5 o'clock, you know, when we're sort of at our coldest. And, you know, we're possibly walking during the day, not doing as much walks. Then it starts to get warmer. So everybody wants to get out.
Yeah.
But it can be extremely overwhelming for your dogs.
Yes. And I think we've talked about this in the past, too, with reactive dog classes. We start them back up in the spring, but I think that's also when they are the busiest because people are noticing the issue.
Well, because the dogs have gone 4 months with barely seeing any dogs or having shorter leash walks or only walking in the neighborhood, right? And then we're going to all of a sudden all these people are out again, all these dogs, they're seeing dogs everywhere, and it's overwhelming. But I think it's overwhelming not only for the dog, but I also think it can be overwhelming for the owners as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot about skill. So in going back to the leave it, I know I'm joking a little bit about that, but I'm actually quite serious.
Yes.
Is, you know, like whether it's a bit of garbage and we were just joking a little bit. My favorite topic is apparently dog poop in the snow. So
it's a problem.
Problem. Yeah. So unfortunately, everything melts and, you know, some things that were frozen in that snow have a tendency to come up. And for some dogs, it's, you know, quite appetizing.
And they just want to go through everything in that snowbank. There's also all the old, like, salt and dirt and everything from the roads. There's lots of stuff that they're interested in that maybe they shouldn't have.
Right, which actually can make them sick or have an upset stomach. So some dogs, and then even eating, you know, the leaves and the dried grass and sort of stuff like that. So just be aware when you're putting the dogs outside, revisit the leave it cue. It's a wonderful thing.
And we talked previously about the leave it cue a little bit, and it's also something that we teach in our classes, but not only doing it with food, right? Because it's not always going to be food.
Yeah.
Yes, I always tell this as an example in my class. I have found like an old Tim Hortons sandwich or something in the snowbank that's like
or
melted.
Cup. They seem to be everywhere.
A cup.
Yeah.
I had one of my favorite client stories was they found spaghetti and meatballs melting out of a snowbank. Yeah, I asked what area they lived in because that was
you're
a regular problem. Spaghetti and meatballs in the snowbank. But having them leave it, like, yeah, sometimes it's food, but most of the time it's going to be garbage. It's going to be something yucky
that
you
decaying.
Don't want your dog to have.
Yep.
And so doing your leave it, not just with food and not just indoors.
Yep.
Because it's great if they can leave what you drop in the kitchen, but it's probably even better if they can leave the gross thing so you don't have to fish it out of their mouth.
Yes. Yes, right. Because that may lead to other things. And unfortunately, if it's something that doesn't work their way through, then we can have possible surgery.
Yeah, and I think also just back to the leave it training, and specifically when you're working with things that are not food and they're very, very high value, like the dead decaying thing that we're talking mm-hmm. about, you want to carry rewards with you. So yes. in springtime, especially, I know in the winter, sometimes people's hands get cold and they get a little bit, you know, with the treats. They don't bring them out every time, but I am definitely bringing treats with me in the springtime to reward any and every leave it, because I want them to have that practice coming away from something they did want and getting something better for me.
Yeah. Until things start to, say, dry up.
Yes.
Or clean up. Yeah. Yeah. I had started talking a little bit about getting out, and I guess what I was referring to is honestly walking. Mm-hmm. You know, going to doing different types of hikes, walking in different neighborhoods. I do this every year. I don't know if we've ever really talked about that I do this every year, which I'm sure you do, but I go back to my skills a little bit and I back up and I almost reteach leash walking a little bit. So yeah. what I'll do is just working in the driveway mm-hmm. with the leash, going back to U-turns, and then, you know, just going into town in a quiet neighborhood and just working attention and having that leash on. Because I do find in winter months I don't want to say the easy way out, but I do more off-leash walks. Yeah. But not to say I'm not working recall or having the dogs come in, but with all of them, I just go through a little reminder, or every walk, I take that first 5 minutes to say, okay, we're in a new location. This. Right. And there's a lot of people there, but you know what? We're going to work through it together. I got my treats. We start with our basic U-turns. We work on some healing, switching sides, and sort of setting that pace, because I want to set them up for mm-hmm. success, right?
Yeah.
And I think as the dogs get older, they get accustomed to the different seasons. Mm-hmm. And then they know, oh, okay, this is happening again because the snow's melting. But when they're younger, they don't really understand.
No, and especially if you have, I always call them winter puppies. We have a winter puppy and yeah. they only know how to pee on snow, and they yeah. only know how to walk on snow. And then they see grass and they see it, like every leaf is so exciting, and every smell that's coming out. We know there's all the smells.
Yeah.
Every smell that's coming out is just the most exciting thing. So they're darting every which way. And sometimes they need to learn how to walk with that level of distraction that yeah. they didn't necessarily have in winter, because it was just snowbanks.
Yes.
And it wasn't all that fun.
But for some of them, eating snow could be fun, but definitely more distraction, whether that be people, other dogs, smells, sounds, you know, you name it. So socialization.
The other thing that you mentioned too was switching sides. I find a lot of the time the bikes, the skateboards, yeah. the scooters, all those things come out. I think it's really important that your dogs remember how to walk on both sides, that if they're always, you know, on your left, and then there's a bike coming down the sidewalk, you can switch them to your right, and then they're not going to launch themselves at the bike because you're in between.
Yeah.
Right? So having them sort of revisit those skills, and like you said, socializing two different things, such as, you know, things with wheels.
Yeah.
Anything with wheels is very yeah. exciting to a dog. They want to chase it. They want to jump at it.
Yeah. Yeah, which sometimes they don't remember from the year before, or it's basically reminding them.
Or if it's their first spring and they're going, what is that?
Yeah.
That's probably the scariest thing they've literally ever seen.
Right. And so they might need to work through it. But think about, the funny thing is I keep an old skateboard mm-hmm. that the kids used to use and play around. But just for consults or dogs that have issues with wheels, I keep it so that we actually use it as a demo. Or the other thing is, you know, get on a bike and ride up and yeah. down. So if you know your dog is stressed about, you know, a certain object or something, like the bike and the rollerbladers, then find somebody that has one and, you know, look at it as a training opportunity instead of saying just avoid. Because I always just say, if you put a little bit of time into the training, then you're going to enjoy the rest of the spring and summer a little bit more.
Yeah, well, and you don't want to be out there and you're going for your walk and you're using a kid on a skateboard as a training opportunity, right? You want to do that in a controlled setting where yeah. you're feeling comfortable. So that's, I think a lot of the time I've done a few private lessons for that. Like, oh, you know, my dog is scared of kids on bikes or whatever. And I got on, I remember using your kid's bike, and I got on the bike and rode up and down the driveway and threw treats at the dog, and we worked around it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we do have classes, like we have our walking and recall class.
Yeah.
Where you take them out into the city. So you're starting out in the property, right? So where the dog classroom is, there's a big long driveway.
So we're avoiding those other distractions up until we're getting them a little bit more comfortable. And we try to plan our locations, especially in springtime, right? We plan our locations with increasing, I don't want to say distractibility, I guess, but increasing
difficulty
or events going on. The other thing is, I think it's helpful for a lot of people as far as those classes, because now we definitely work recall in different locations. We've added a greeting component, right? So here's a walking club that we had. They all enjoyed themselves. So we did, part of the walk was on leash, and part of the walk, there's the on leash part, was off leash on my own property. So that was a bonus to get together. We had a really good turnout.
That was an awesome walk.
Yeah. Yeah, the dogs,
they had fun.
They absolutely had fun. I think the owners quite enjoyed it as well. But just again, talking about the classes is the reason why we started it. And I actually didn't realize it would be such a popular class. But I think it's because a lot of people get into situations or experience things and they really don't know how to do it. And I like to help them figure out how to navigate through the situation. So, I've already been contacted a few times about when we're going to start classes, and unfortunately, Mother Nature will depend on that.
So back to our walk-in and recall. So walk-in and recall, I think there hasn't been a time where that class has not been full.
Yeah.
That is probably one of the most popular classes. And I think in our core program, so in beginning with basics in the next step, we do teach some leash walking skills, but it's all well and good when you can do it indoors.
Right.
It's a whole different thing to take the trainer with you on that walk.
Yeah.
Right. And you're taking them out to places where there are people walking and there are real life scenarios and working through it. Because it's challenging for a lot of people to take the skills they've learned in class and actually apply them.
Yes.
And I know that myself, as somebody who just panics and doesn't know what to do sometimes, it's helpful to have someone else go, you should be turning right now. Or, you
know, gently suggesting other options.
Guiding you as to what to do or when to treat, or, you know, if your dog, if you're feeling stuck somewhere, you know, showing you that there are options to get out. So there's lots of different benefits to having those walking classes.
Right. And then let's talk about, you know, during winter months, we possibly socialize our dogs to different things. We do that in fall. Because, like, again, repeating the same thing, we're very season-like. Just because I guess I keep repeating that is because I've listened to other seminars and podcasts where they don't really experience as much weather change as we do. So I think sometimes they're not having the issues that we are. So is the socialization part, and we've just mentioned that sort of over and over again because we're talking about the skateboarders and the bikers. We talked about the smells in the snow with things melting. But the other thing is sounds, too. Like, the motorbikes come out. There's more construction.
Yes.
That's right?
A big one.
That is a big one. I have client after client talk about roofers, you know, the nail gun or whatever sort of thing. And the dogs seem to have quite an issue because, you know, one day it's totally quiet and the next day there's all this commotion and sound.
And there's people on the roof, which is weird for dogs to see.
Yeah, which is looking, which is super weird. But I think it's just, you know, looking at it as gaining knowledge. I always use the scenario of the garbage can at the end of the driveway. Mm-hmm. Again, doesn't matter what time of year. But I don't think sometimes the dogs can figure out that it's there like once a week, the same day every week.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they're like, oh, look, it's not there. In other days, you know, they pay more attention to it and it happens to be there.
And it's not hidden behind a snowbank, right? It's just out in the open.
Right. And it's, a little more freaky deaky. But yeah, it's really interesting. I think a lot of times we would have more, I don't want to say success in situations, but find them maybe a touch less stressful if we took a step back and go, oh, right.
Yeah, look at it from their perspective a little bit.
Yeah, and just look at the fact that, you know, we've just come through how many months of winter and, you know, we're just going to sort of reintroduce this because, you know, you can only, you know, keep things going so much through the winter. But then again, you know, in the spring, what we start doing is preparing for summer, right? And what some of us are doing is bringing out, you know, different furniture, lawn furniture. We start spending more time outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want your dog to be well-behaved in summer so you can go to camp and you can do all the fun things,
yeah,
you need to start training them in spring.
Yeah. It's just more about, especially quite a few people have mentioned they have camps, right, where they don't necessarily go during winter months. And then, you know, springtime comes and they start to open up the camp. It's probably a good socialization to spend some time there before every person is there, where you're just going where there's the odd person here or there.
Yeah.
So I think this is turning into a little bit about socialization, but I think...
Isn't everything.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure about, it's just new things happening and I just get so stuck on the season thing. I also think that, you know, we do it as well, because that's when we start to put away our parkas and we bring out our rubber boots and, you know, it's definitely that transition. I've thought to myself before, you know, living in Florida or Hawaii, all you need, they say, is flip flops, but,
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I think the other piece too, which kind of goes with the socialization though, is the reactivity that we see in spring.
Yeah.
And I think, yes, part of that is that they're not used to seeing the bikes and whatever, and they're maybe just scared and they're reacting to it. But there's also, you know, there are a lot of dogs, maybe more small dogs, that don't go out in the winter.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they haven't been working on those skills that maybe they did before, or, you know, even some of the bigger dogs, like they're just seeing more dogs and, you know, they're at a different stage of their life now. Last winter, you know, they were puppy or six.
Right, you're
old.
Saying so they're actually a year older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we do see a little bit more reactivity in the springtime.
So I just wanted to break down the walking class a little bit more. And when I say walking class, that's the walking and recall or walking and greeting. Is I try to make things a little bit more controlled. I do have other trainers. Steph works with me. Alicia works with me as well. We're, you know, trying to make a positive experience for everybody. But when you first get there, we're encouraging you not to let the dogs pull you to see other dogs. Like right away, we're trying to teach that calm greeting part. And there's, you know, a reward process in it. And then the other thing, you know, when I'm talking about the pulling and so forth, we're teaching you actually how to do it.
Yeah. And you're sitting there and you're sort of demonstrating, right, with one of your dogs or a client dog, and you're showing them, okay, this is how we're going to address, you know, if the dog pulls for it, we're going to do a U-turn, or, you know, before they even get pulling, we're going to start the dog like this and we're going to reward here.
Right. So
hold the leash.
We started doing more that ready to work protocol, right? I think that's one of your favorite. I got that from you. But it's just asking the dog for a little bit of attention on you. And I think, to me, it's a note to self, because if your dog doesn't take a treat, it's not misbehaving. It's just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can usually figure that out for ourselves. Like, you know, we can step back and go, okay, I need to breathe. Right? Where the dog is trying to tell us, I'm a little bit overwhelmed here. You know, give me a minute. So, you know, it's about... it's about information, but it's training in the moment.
Yes.
Right?
Because we've got, ideally, when they take the classes, I think there's some prerequisites, right? Like, they need to have some of the skills.
Some of the skills.
And now we're taking them and we're putting them in practice, not only outside, which is a distraction itself, but, you know, week one, you'd be at the dog classroom, it'd be very well controlled. There's not going to be random people, you know, everywhere. And then you're going out to different locations and you're sort of building on that so that you can coach them through it.
So what we're working on, if we see somebody approaching us, what should we do?
Right.
Should we go off to the side? Should we switch sides? Should we do a U-turn? And then it's also about setting up situations so people know how their dog's going to react, right? Because I think that's the key to training. Like, people just seem to always want to train in the moment, but they get so... upset and stressed, like you were commenting a little bit, where you just honestly shut down or you feel overwhelmed and yeah. you don't know what to do. So I think if you're setting up a situation, which is what I'm trying to do in the real world, yeah. and coach you through it.
I know I've been asked and Kelsey's been asked to like take our dogs and can you walk through yeah. this class at this time and do this? And, you know, we're in on that. So we're setting it up. We're obviously not going to like run at the dogs and put them in an unsafe situation. We're setting it up in a controlled way, but it's still very realistic. And, you know, maybe the client doesn't have the information about what
right. I'm going to be doing. It's about teaching them how their dogs will react in certain situations and how their reinforcement and them turning and moving benefits the dog.
So just to quickly touch on, so the walking classes and the reactive class are different things.
Yeah.
Right? So while there may be some excitement and I guess reactions of some kind in the walk-in and recall where they maybe just jump or they bark or whatever, mm-hmm. The reactive class is a little bit different, right? Because you're working more specifically with dogs who are not just overwhelmed by everything, but they're maybe more reactive to just dogs or people.
And usually I would say in their reactive class, we're dealing with more reactivity of people and dogs. Some of these dogs have reactivity to the bikes, some have the reactivity to the traffic and so forth. And I don't want to say we don't address it. It's definitely there, but the way we deal with those things is the same way we deal with reactivity with people and other dogs. So I think where you're trying to sort of get me to go with this is, again, they come and I want to set them up for success. So everybody starts at a distance.
Yeah, because everyone thinks that you show up for reactive class and they're just all going to fight each other.
Barking and lunging at one another. No, because yeah. I want it to be a safe place. I want the dogs excited to come. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what? You're 20 feet over down the driveway. Oh, well, that's yeah. where we're going to start to work.
And the nice thing about the property is that you have that driveway yeah. that you can work with, right? Yeah. So there's, if you haven't been to the dog classroom, there's a big long driveway up to the building where a lot of the training classes take place. The reactive class is outside, obviously. And then there's the trails in the back that are a whole different sort of ballgame.
Yeah, and the bonus on being on Hazelwood Drive is that we're in city limits. So I yeah. say Hazelwood Drive, everybody thinks that, you know, we're down on the yeah. lake. Maybe one day, but the thing is
1 minute from Dawson Road.
One minute from Dawson Road, yeah. So we're right there. But yeah, it's just about teaching a good start, teaching the dogs that they don't have to be emotional and stressed and dealing with it, I think, on an individual level.
Yeah. So overall, springtime comes with a lot of challenges.
It does.
So what's your take-home advice for people who are struggling?
Take-home advice, I think a few times in the different episodes, especially in talking about training, we have just gently encouraged a training plan. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to sit down there and do, I'm going to joke and say a Google Doc just because that blows my mind. But, you know, I like, Docs. Yeah, I know you do. I like my pad of paper, mm-hmm. I do, or my calendar, and I write, okay, this week I'm going to work leash walking on the driveway, and then I'm going to set up some leave-its because I know certain areas on the property have melted or there's less snow, and then the following week I'm going to head into a residential neighborhood and notice, like, I'm not going to Boulevard or Marina
yeah,
or anything.
Yeah, you're not going somewhere super busy right yeah. from home.
Yeah, and I think I always feel better when I have a plan. I feel less anxious and I feel more successful, yes. actually, because I'm like, okay, look what I did. I'm good to go. So, yeah. And the thing is, you know, whether you do Amelia's way where it's super pinpoint to the point, or whether, you do my way and you make little notes on a calendar, whatever works. Whatever yeah. works for sure. But a lot of it's just note for self. And if you always have that thought in the back of your head, then you're not going to get overwhelmed and super stressed about a situation. So, you know, and I think what we're going to try to do is maybe every few months comment more about like the environment or socialization and how to work through different scenarios mm-hmm. because this is where we live, right?
Yeah. And it's going to keep changing. So,
yeah. no matter whether we want it or not, and whether that's more snow or whether that's not. But like you said, it's Mother Nature and we just got to go with it.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning into this episode. Make sure you check out our walking classes on our website, thedogclassroom.com. Find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, on Spotify.
I was waiting. I wanted to say Spotify.
And make sure you like and subscribe.
Thank you.